Tonight we are blessed once again with the men's chorus who will sing the mighty power of God. The congregation will join after the third stanza, we'll join in the third stanza again. The hymn is number 29. Congregation, please arise. We shall sing together with the choir the third stanza of hymn 29. There's not a plant or flower below, but makes thy glories known. Please be seated. Thank you, choir. Reading of God's word is taken from Psalm 139, an amazing record from the pen of Psalmist King David. I marvel how he was inspired to write these words, verses 14 to 16. Verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes and did see me, my substance, yet being unperfect or imperfect, and in the book, thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Amazing. I marvel, as a gynecologist, that David could write these words in the days before the microscope was known, and how embryogenesis, that is the formation and growth of the baby in the womb, was even understood at all. Do you know that we all began life as one cell, only one cell? And along the edges of this instrument here, you can line up 10,000 of those cells that after 9 months becomes you and me in the embryo. A marvel. So David says in verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, which is the title of our sermon for our meditation tonight. Did you ever wonder how you were formed? How is it you all come out? Five fingers each hand, five toes, and two eyes, and all the rest of your organs. Perfect. Amazing, isn't it? But more amazing is how one cell became 2 trillion cells. I cannot count them. And that one cell gives rise to 60,000 miles of blood vessels in every one of us, you and me, besides the other parts of our body and organs. It's amazing. That's why inspired writer of this psalm, David, says, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. When I think of how your Chinese parents give birth to a yellow little creature. And by the way, I was called 2 weeks ago, although I'm not practicing, they thought maybe I would know something. Come and see our baby. This is in our own hostel here. One of the missionary babies was so yellow. I say, come down, come down. Yellow parents give rise to yellow babies. And the tendency for us to get very jaundiced, I have seen it in my own children in that time. And the baby doctor says, hey, calm down, not to worry, because we are Chinese. And the yellowness in Chinese babies is much more than in other babies. So we calm down. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And sure enough, I assured this missionary wife, and the next day they were so relieved because the yellowness went right down. Amazing. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that you have 60,000 miles and more of blood vessels in you? Huh, you say, I'm not even 5 feet tall, 6 feet tall, maybe. And where come those vessels? Ah, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you ever wonder how it is that the hair grows only in certain parts of you and me? It doesn't grow all over the place, on your face. And for young men, at the right time, they grow mustache and beard, but not on girls. Why? Fearfully and wonderfully made. God determines. And for us today, with scientific studies, what do we say? We are fearfully, wonderfully made by the Creator. Do you know the Creator? Dear friends, why are you here tonight? I said, dear friends, every time I enter the portals of this building, every time I sit here to worship, I say, thank God. Thank God that He is known to me. Thank God that I have been brought up to love Him. Do you? Thank God. That here is a place where the Word of God is honored and preached and declared, fearfully and wonderfully made. We come from a Christian tradition. Singapore was once a British colony, and Britain was once at the forefront of the gospel. Do you know that? Forefront meaning to say a missionary sending church to convert the wild and uncivilized tribes in China, in Africa, and so on. Today, no more. Today, no more. These so-called Christian countries have fallen away. And when you hear of that event, what do you say? Do you know it is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy? At the end time, before the Lord returns, do you know? Are you ready? Are you preparing? The signs will appear. It says, before the Lord comes, there will be a falling away. Falling away meaning to say, denial of the faith. Can you imagine a Christian country that once sent missionaries now deny even that Jesus lives? Amazing. Amazing. So in place of Creator, they worship themselves. I want to show you here something. These are the words of a band called Richard Dawkins. I wonder if you have heard the name of this man. If not, after tonight, you can say that you have heard of the name of Richard Dawkins. Who is he? A professor in Oxford. Do you know that in the Second World War, Hitler had a propaganda chief? I said this again, and I hope you remember. And he told Hitler, don't worry, keep telling lies, I will back you up. And we keep telling lies from the highest quarters, oftentimes telling the same lies. After a while, they will think that it is right, and they swallow hook, line, and sinker. Everything that you say, they will believe it is right. Here it is. So Richard Dawkins says in his book, by the way, it is a history-making book, just out last year. Evolution, he says, is a fact. Now, we all know that evolution is a lie. Now he calls it a fact. Now, if you remember what Hitler's propaganda chief said, tell lies, but tell it from the highest quarters. Tell it often and Make it sound so real, people will believe. Here it is. Richard Dawkins, in a book, anything that goes into a hardcover book and looks very impressive, especially if it comes from Oxford. Wow. Must be good. So he says, evolution is a fact beyond reasonable doubt, beyond serious doubt. If you doubt her, he says, you're not serious. You serious? You don't doubt. Beyond sane, informed, intelligent doubt. Ah, dear friends, if you doubt, then you are not sane. You're not informed. You're not very intelligent. And we all want to think we are intelligent. So we better believe. Believe what? Evolution. What is evolution? Do you know? Dear friends, today it is coming to us in sugar coating, academic coating. People who come from Oxford tell you evolution is fact. Is fact. We believe it. You better believe it. So here is the greatest lie of the devil being dressed in academic garb, academic gowns, and comes in the name of Oxford. What do you know? What do you know? If you doubt it, you're not intelligent, you know. It says here, if you're intelligent, you don't doubt. So it is a fact, a fact, a fact, a fact. By the time you read, the thing is said 4 or 5 times. And who says it? Dawkins. From where? Oxford. Do you believe it? Oh, even if you doubt it at first, by the time you finish, you begin to believe this. Must be some truth. Must be some truth. Dear friends, what is your answer? I always thank God. Thank God for what? For the Word. That our God is not a God who is deaf and dumb and blind. Our God knows your thoughts even before you think them. He knows you, knows me, through and through. We have a wonderful God. You know, today's computers can record and follow your tracks wherever you go. Amazing. That's how they track down Osama to, where was it? Somewhere in Pakistan, and shot him down. Now God is better than any computer, and He gives us His Word. Are you thankful? Thank God for a church where the Word is preached faithfully. You ever think this through? Do you believe the Bible? You know, when I take this book, this one book, the King James Bible, you ask me, why there are so many modern English versions which read much simpler, better, more understandable? I say, that is a lie of the devil. Surely you can understand this. Surely you cannot understand many of the things that are written in the NIV, for example, or any of the other new Bibles. You cannot understand all those things. How do you understand the Word of God? How? By the Spirit of God. It's only when you read with the Holy Spirit teaching you, you understand. So we have the Bible. Be grateful. Be grateful that you have teachers who preach faithfully from the Bible. And it has all the answers to refute evolution's lies. What are evolution's lies? We shall reveal them to you shortly, one after another. Amazing lies. But we have the answer to all these lies of the devil.
God's book, the Bible, is complete. Oh, thank God. He inspired men of old to write. Men who wrote faithfully. Men who translated faithfully. Preserving the text for us faithfully. So that we can take heart and believe all that it says of itself. God's book is complete, is perfect, is sure, is right, is true, altogether. And the Lord says of His own words, "My words shall not pass away." Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." We've seldom had Sunset Gospel Hour being ushered in by thunder as we had tonight. Amazing display of thunder. And does it not remind you of something? Oh dear friends, the elements of nature work, declare the glory of God, the power of God. Surely we must take note. And the Word of God says, this Word of God is forever settled. Doesn't change. Unlike some dictionaries, every few years they change. Or scientific textbooks especially. Every year or two, new edition change. Ideas change. Knowledge changes. God's Word does not change. It is forever settled. You can read it today, you can read it 10 years from now, 100 years from now, if you are still here. God's Word is perfect, infallible. So that we have a sure base from which we can refute the evolutionists. Now, do you know what evolution does? If you believe evolution, there is no creation. What does evolution say? Life started from nothing. Now that is the biggest lie ever. Biggest lie ever. I repeat that. And you take note of it. Because life must come from life pre-existing. No other way that can produce life. Do you know that? Of course. When I went to university, you were sick and tired of me telling you that. But it is a fact I went to university. At that time, they taught us Darwin. Wow, Darwin. Amazing. He was almost worshipped as the God of creation, the God of evolution. And to him, and to us at that time, wow, life comes spontaneously until what? Until a man called Louis Pasteur. Today, all your packet drinks put there pasteurized. You see? Every packet of soft drink, fresh milk, fruit drinks, pasteurized. After Louis Pasteur, who showed convincingly that any idea of spontaneous generation, that is life coming from no life, is pure imagination and false claim altogether. False. Do you know that? Started from a French doctor, a Christian doctor. He showed, he says, if this milk is pasteurized, is boiled properly and cooked nicely, nothing can get in and there will never be any growth of flies or worms or things coming out of there. This was spontaneous generation. That if you keep milk and other foods, meat and so on, after a while, flies and maggots came out of there. Why? Because they are contaminated. But if you keep them refrigerated and cooked, nothing. All right, back to Genesis. You see, God does not leave us ignorant. God gives us the word, and Genesis 1:1. By the way, we are launching a Bible memorization course next week. You come and you get it free. The very first verse of Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." Right? God created. He began it all. Without God, there is no life. He is the author and the source of all life. We begin our life there, from Genesis. Now, here it is, creation of man. God does not leave us groping in the dark at the mercy of evolutionists who tell us tall stories that we came from monkeys. And it's so often you read, 500 million years ago, our forefathers came down from the trees, discarded their tails. Oh my, really? It's like playing an actor, no? As though he had some kind of costume that he just discarded and became a man. And instead of going on fours, stood up and became Homo sapiens. Amazing business. But God says no. God made us. Let us make man in our image to look like one of us, the creatures of God. Yes. Remember that God Himself is without form and physical features like we have, but He has intellect far greater than we have, and therefore we are made after that image, after our likeness of God. That uprightness, the nature of God in us, to love, to do His will. Let them have dominion. Ah, that is the third point you must remember. We are not just another animal. Have you ever seen a man being led around like a dog? Ah, because we are made different. We are to lord over the animals. So dogs and cats become our pets. But man never becomes a pet for a dog, you know. Never happens. Why? Because of our creation history. God made us to be lords over the rest of the creation. All the animals, fish, fowl, cattle, everything comes under man. Why? Because God determined it to be so. So that evolution has got no place in our origin. Now, this is a very important verse. By the way, when you get your Bible verse, let me show you what it looks like. And yeah, here it is. Free of charge. Next week you get it. Genesis 2:7 is a very important verse. It's inside here. The Lord God breathed into his nostrils. The Lord God never took a monkey and breathed in his nostrils. Do you know that? And because of that, we have the breath of God. We have the spirit to think and to respond to spiritual things. The breath of life. And man became a living soul. That is why God sent His Son to save us. And not to save monkeys and dogs and cats. Christ died for our sins. Why? Because we are made after the image of God. And we have that moral value in us. So, always remember, as you walk out of here, man is not an animal. From origin, we are not. From function, you are created to be masters of animals. That's why we are. That's why we look after animals as pets. Go to the aquatic museum and see men taming I don't know what they call it, dolphins. Those very tame kind of sea creature. Why is it they never come to lord over us, or we lord over them? Because God planned it to be so. But man fell, and God loved us so that He sent His only begotten Son to redeem us from our fallen condition, to save us. And the destiny that God wills for you and me is most important. When Christ comes, and when the new heaven and new earth come, all who are in Christ will be included as citizens of the everlasting kingdom of God, the new heaven and the new earth, to dwell eternally with our Creator. Now, we want to make very sure that we understand what evolution is all about before we leave it altogether. Evolution is a lie from the beginning to the end. It's passed off as science. Do you know that the schools in America teach evolution and ban the teaching of Christianity? Do you know that? Except Christian schools, but public schools, they ban them. Not allowed to teach. Evolution is only an opinion. Yes. I am not surprised if there are some here who have been evolutionists, or who even now, hearing all this, reject the gospel and be evolutionists. It is an opinion. It's a belief. I pray that we, hearing the gospel, will forget all these lies of the devil. It is not science. You know what is science? Science is something you can calibrate, you can study. There is a certainty about it. Yes, if you do this will happen. Can you say that of evolution? You cannot. Evolution is an opinion. And thirdly, this opinion is a bad opinion. It bears evil fruits. Evolution is not from God, but it is from Satan. This is by way of revision. On my time, it was spontaneous generation until, who did I say? Louis Pasteur says no such thing as spontaneous evolution. So they said, okay, forget about spontaneous evolution, generation. Now they come up with a new theory, Big Bang. Big Bang. What happened? Oh, there's an explosion. Can you imagine that if there is a big explosion in a printing firm, after the explosion they go in and find Encyclopedia Britannica come together. You say, this is the theory of Big Bang. Big Bang, and out come human babies, human beings. amazing. Now the third idea is most ridiculous, and yet many Christian theologians swallow it hook, line, and sinker. They now preach and teach theistic evolution. God was so weak and impossible and unable to produce anything, he resorted to evolution, you know. That is the meaning of theistic evolution. God used evolution because he did not know anything better. So, evolution's roots. Before we leave this topic, by the way, tonight is our final, our last evening talking about evolution. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, why did evolution begin? How did it begin? From unbelief. Do you know that when you see something, if every time I walk into this place and the place is cleanly swept and all the hymn books are nicely arranged, I say, this is a good caretaker. Absolutely. It cannot be that after a meeting and all the hymn books are being used, and they are put back together by itself, it doesn't come together. So there is an evidence that demands an explanation. When you see every time a baby is born is like that. Every baby. Do you know that your teeth grow milk teeth, and after milk teeth, the permanent teeth, and your incisors always come in the front, and your molars are always at the back for mastication, for chewing. Is there a pattern? Of course. If there is a pattern and a design, there must be a designer and engineer, correct? It cannot be haphazard. One day you grow a baby, all the molars in front and the incisors go to the back. It doesn't happen. Now, what determines it? Oh, dear friend, unbelief. And the worst thing is a child, your child, grow up and say, hey, who are you, you silly man? You call yourself my father? I don't believe it. I don't believe it that you are my father. This is what happens to people who refuse to believe there is a God creator. Yes, they think they came out of the ground. This is in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 10. These verses I give to you, you can refer to yourself. And because they hate God, so that even God gives them all the information they ought to know in the Bible, they refuse to know. And they do their own things. That's why we have AIDS. You know what is AIDS? Yes. Human immunoglobulin deficiency syndrome. Terrible. And once you get AIDS, there is no cure. Do you know that? God punishes them for God hatred. And because of their refusal to believe, they live like animals, men with men. What a horrible thing. Do you know what is men with men? They're worthy of death, and God sends them death. So we want to bid goodbye forever with this horrible thing called evolution. Evolution bears evil fruits. Uncleanness. A person who believes in evolution does not become a holy person, does not become a godly person, does not become a good, social, clean person. He becomes dirty, foul, sinful, and he loves what? Homosexuals. Can you believe it? The Christian country of America today has a president who says, we must be kind to our fellow citizens, men and female. Treat them honorably. Give them equal rights that they can get married, men to men, women to women, as they wish. We must do that for them. I say this is called confusion. Yes, gay is not good, but they say gay is good. What can be good about gayism? Do you know? Do you know what is gayism? Can you imagine how awful and how filthy and dirty it is? And out of it comes infection that has no cure. No known cure whatsoever. That's why there are millions of deaths of people once they get AIDS finished. And where does it come from? From gayism. These are worthy of death. So let us be clear and clean. We read this and then we conclude. I'll read together with you. Verse 14, 15 and 16 of Psalm 139. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. What is the lowest part of the earth? Yes, mother is pregnant, and in the unknown darkness of inside the womb, you and I were developed. This is the lowest part of the earth. This is what it means. Verse 16 in closing. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Do you know, once upon a time, during development, we never had fingers in the womb. We had paws. They were like this. You believe? When you see the photographs of unborn babies, they're like that. But after a certain time, they become fingers. So this is what it says here. Being unperfect, imperfect, unformed. And God, you made us all like that. We went through those stages, but when we are born, we are all perfect, complete with 10 fingers, 10 toes, and a nose, with one tongue and not two tongues, and all the rest of the systems perfect. How on earth? All my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, all in particular sequence, in perfect order, one by one, these systems, so that your intestinal system goes contracting from above down and not from below up. Do you know that? For if the system inside the intestines were to go in the reverse gear, you finish. All of us finish. It's death. And you know that. When the intestines go into reverse gear. But it says here, in continuance of fashion, God determined that when your intestines are formed, they all contract downwards. From the time you swallow your food until the time the end product comes out, it keeps on going down only. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful psalm, that we may know we have a wonderful Savior who made us, who saved us, who created us
O Lord, may we be grateful for what He has done in saving us from our sins, in creating us anew. Hear my prayer, bless your people, that we may all daily be thankful to our great Creator, the Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Now we have the closing hymn.